With no major movie release this week, it's time to get philosophical. We reflect on whether India is ready for an online streaming revolution, the role and development of the thriller genre in Bollywood, and what do audiences really want? All of that, not necessarily in that order, on this week's Bollywood Weekly. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of Bollywood Weekly. I say good morning, but it's also probably good afternoon and good evening, depending on which time zone you are and when you decide to listen to this. So there's that. We're going to have a slightly different format today since there was no big release. I'm going to spend less time talking about the movie that came out and the reviews and spend more time just discussing other news that happened in Bollywood and also talk about some classic movies. This week in Bollywood, the release was Guddu Rangila, which features Arshad Warsi and Aditi Rao Haidari. Not a lot of fanfare or promotion leading up to this movie, and seems like that has cost the movie a little bit because it's not doing very well. In general, the critic reviews are mixed. Seems like there are some people who think there is an interesting story out there, but in general hasn't really caught audiences' imagination and only made about 1.5 crores on its first day, so not the signs there are not promising. In terms of an overall box office report, ABCD2 continues doing super well. We covered it last week, and it's inching slowly towards the 100 crore club. Looks like it's going to be one of the big successes of the year. It's currently the second most successful movie after Tanu Yajmanu. It's actually benefited from the fact that there are no big releases immediately after it. The next big release is Bajrangi Bhaijaan with Salman Khan in 2 weeks' time. So looks like it could have an extended run without any real competition, so that's good. And moving on now to some trailers. So one of the trailers we actually missed out on covering a couple of weeks ago was Drishyam, which kind of, the trailer came out below the radar, and it features Ajay... So it turns out we do have a guest this week. Aman, do you want to say hi or do something?
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Hello.
So as I mentioned up front, we are trying a different format for the podcast today. So I don't know if you guys can tell, but Aman is actually joining us via FaceTime from Ahmedabad.
Yeah, it feels good to be here in my room.
But I'm very surprised. The Wi-Fi speed in Ahmedabad seems to be working really well. So maybe Akshay Dinna coming after all.
Yeah, it looks like it. I can bet Netflix is going to come sometime soon. So that's going to be even more Akshay Dinna for us.
Speaking of Netflix, let's talk about the kind of online streaming industry for a bit. Hook recently launched in India. I don't know if you heard about this. But Hook is... Yeah, H-O-O-Q.
H-O-O-Q. Cool. I'll check it out right now, man.
Hook is effectively, Hook is a joint venture between Singtel, which is the leading telco in Singapore, and Sony and Warner Brothers. And they recently launched in Philippines, and they now launched in India and a few other countries as well. Their plan is to become Netflix for Southeast Asia and South Asia.
Wait, so you're saying this is live for India right now?
Yeah. I think it's 200 rupees a month. I don't think the Bollywood library is that great. But they have like 3,000 Hollywood films and good films because it's Sony and Warner Brothers. So every Sony and Warner Brothers film that has come out recently is on there.
Oh, there's even Dark Knight and all that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and in general, a lot of people are trying to do this now. So like, you know, Star TV launched Hotstar.com a couple of months ago. And they launched it in a big way with cricket and IPL, etc. I think it's doing quite well, actually. But in general... relative to the population of India and the TV watching population, it's still fairly low because it's...
I think it's going to boom. I think it's just going to be on a uptrend because you see the number of people using internet services in general. It might be apps, it might be whatever, Google Maps or anything. You know, it's everything's on the rise with the 3G, 4G coming up. So this is definitely the biggest medium to be in next.
Yeah, and if you look at the demographics of India, I mean, more than half the population is under the age of 35 or something like that. So, and these are the people who are more open to using technology and new trends and are less likely to be watching Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi season 54.
Yeah, slightly less likely. I don't know.
Yeah,
Maybe. India, I don't.
the whole TV scene in India is a bit ridiculous because it's all these, the target audience is literally aunties and uncles aged 45, not even 45, like aged 55 to 70.
No, but you see how there's a whole trend, right? It's if you look back at the 90s, it's when there was nothing else on TV, like Zee TV and all started up in the early 90s, so people were hooked onto that, and then other TV shows followed on Sony and Star TV or Star, I don't know what you call it, Star now, but whatever that was at that time. And then while we were growing up, so early 90, late 90s, HBO came on and all those other shows came on, and we were just completely hooked onto those. So I think it's a matter of choice and it's a matter of availability at that time. So that has really played a big difference.
Yeah, but my point is, I mean, people like you said, HBO and all of these American TV effectively, exploded around then, and we all now watch American TV or British TV shows
Thinking
like.
that this is what it is, you know, we don't know what else there is because we haven't seen anything else. We think British and American shows are the normal shows, right?
No,
Because, I
but.
mean, they are the best shows and we are exposed to them, but we don't know what else there could be because we haven't seen Indian TV as such. I
No,
mean,
but
24 was.
I've seen, so 24 was quite good, but I've seen Indian
Yeah.
TV and it's just not good. My point is the reason people are going to American and British TV is because there are no good Indian shows. If you made a good Indian TV show based in India with good cinematography, good production values, and a compelling storyline, people would
Yeah.
watch it because it's so much, and it's happening now because you have all these web series coming out which are doing super well. TVF is launching this in a big way, and they recently launched a new web series called Pitchers, which is about the startup scene in India, and
Yeah.
it's only two episodes out, but it's so good because it's very real, very relatable, and people of our generation and even people older than us who have not really been exposed to this are really responding to it well, because if you make good content that people can relate to, it'll do well. There's no question. It's
Yeah,
just.
no, and plus it's because it's Indian context, people will be definitely hooked. For example, TVF Players has put up this show on startups, right? So why not? Startup scene is huge in India. Everyone is talking about it, Flipkart, Amazon, this, that. So it's definitely something relatable. I would be totally hooked onto what sort of intertwining stories also going on. And for example, the comedy used in the show is actually pretty good. It's something that we use in day-to-day humor as well. So it's not something that is artificially made just to, you know, add a bit of funny bits to it. It's actually what we use in day-to-day life. So I thought the dialogue is also pretty good. So if this is the turn that Indian TV takes in the next few weeks, months, years, I think it's going to be a good future.
No, I mean I really hope it is, and it should be the direction in which we're going, because what's currently out there is, I mean, universally, I've spoken to actually people who work at Star TV and who work at Sony, and they accept that it's terrible. But the problem is there is still an audience out there that is watching this, and fine, fair enough. But we need to be a bit more progressive in the content that we're making, because as that's one of the, and you know this because we've talked about this multiple times, that's one of the reasons also I launched TIC, because the hope is to eventually start making content that actually matters and that is meaningful, as opposed to these overdramatic soap operas and whatever is on TV right now.
Right, no, I'll just, for example, let's say if you take the background of two shows, one is Indian, one is American from HBO, both are pretty much about one guy who is a clumsy guy, doesn't really have any social skills, and he's just basically terrible at everything, right? So one ended up being Curb Your Enthusiasm, the other one turned out to be Tarak Mehta Ka Ulta Chashma. So I mean.
Wow. That is the first time I've heard Curb Your Enthusiasm and Tarak Mehta being compared. But okay, sure. I see your point.
Curb is literally one of my favorite shows, and I think the fact that it's not scripted, it makes it just brilliant. And if you notice, Larry David has really changed what scripted and non-scripted means for viewers. You know, you don't even realize if a show is scripted, if it's not scripted. He's playing a fictional version of himself, and I mean, if you really think about that, it's pretty amazing to do that and become one of the best shows on TV, right? And then you compare things like Tarak Mehta. I mean, fine, they are funny to a certain extent, to a certain level of humor, but after a point, there's no repeat value to that, right? I mean, if it's on TV, most people end up watching it, but it's not something that I would be interested in watching on my laptop. So that's what we're heading for.
And that's the thing, the creativity that exists, there is a lot of creativity out there. There's a lot of people with good ideas, but they end up just being shot down and forced out by TV executives who somehow still believe that this overdramatic soap operas is the way to go. Even Arunabh Kumar, who was the founder of TVF, started TVF and his YouTube channel because he got turned down by TV studios. Like, he pitched multiple ideas to MTV and to other TV stations, and they were just like, no, this is not going to work. And then he's like, okay, well, I think this is going to work, so I'm going to do this on YouTube. And, you know, you see where they are now. They have over 1 million subscribers, hundreds and thousands of views for all their episodes and web series. And they launched their own platform now, TVF Play. And they are just going from strength to strength. And, you know, that's, for me, just shows me how clearly, how misguided the TV industry currently is. Because they still want or believe that the old conventional traditional form of content is working. And it is working, but my point is, or it's working because audiences are not exposed to anything new. And they will just accept at a certain level what is there, because that's what's always been there. But if you do something creative, do something new, and give audiences something that they haven't seen before, there's no reason why they wouldn't accept it, as long as the content is good. And we've seen this in movies as well. In the last few years,
let me just ask you, what is the sort of ideal plot for a TV show in one of, let's say, these upcoming shows that come up? What would you like to see in this show?
No, I mean, it's not about plot. It's just the nature and, like, it's more about the nature of the show and the characters and how it develops. Because if you look at current Indian serials and soap operas or whatever, it's filmed in a way that's extremely sensational. I don't have another word to put it. And you can have even, you know, the stories,
the zoom-ins on the faces with the dramatic three-time shot, and, you know, the...
Yeah, exactly. And the like thunder in the background and all of these things. And even the plots are also not the most creative ever, but even if you keep the same plot, but you film it in a way that is help the audience relate to certain characters, and you build some character development, and you actually make it engaging. There are many movies and TV shows which have a fairly basic plot, but are engaging because of the characters and because of the way the story is told.
And right, so, I mean, in the end, if you see any sort of film or television show, is all about how you relate to the characters. If you don't relate to it, you're not going to watch it, right? So I think that is what is the key point here. So, I mean, there's so much scope for TV shows in India to be relatable to the new audience. I mean, the existing audience can remain in that same zone of the current style of television, but the new audience really needs something new. So the relating factor is going to be the new characters. And for that, I think we need to get some really, really good actors and actresses.
But we have those, because if you look at the web series that are out there, we've talked about TVF already. There's also another web series called Baked, which was launched by Scoop Whoop, which is a kind of competitor to BuzzFeed. And that's also really good. It's probably not as good as TVF Pictures, but it's also really good, and it's much, much better than anything that's out there on TV right now. And the thing is, there is no reason why you can't keep the existing TV shows that you have, but also add all these new things. Because if you watch any TV channel, there are anyway hundreds and thousands of repeats that keep coming on all the time. So there's enough time slots for you to have your existing content on weekday afternoons or weekday evenings. And I mean, you see it when you look at, you know, 24 and the Indian version. It's obviously, you can't really compare it to the original 24, because that's a bit of a unfair comparison.
No, wasn't it amazing to see the cinematography of Bombay, the streets of Bombay, you know, the politicians of Bombay, I mean, fictional politicians, obviously, but instead of the
You
usual
think they're
Bombay
fictional, bro.
Indians, Los
You'd
Angeles
be surprised
Indians.
at what happens in real life.
Yeah, I mean, so just relating that okay, Jack Bauer or Anil Kapoor is running on the streets of Bombay and, you know, stopping a bomb and killing some terrorists. That itself is exciting because it's so much more relatable to us. I mean, after a point, what difference does it make if someone tried to save Los Angeles from a nuclear bomb?
Yeah, and the only reason a TV channel agreed to put 24 on the air is because it was driven by Anil Kapoor, i.e. a famous actor. Otherwise, they have zero interest in putting anything on the air that is different from what they already have. And
right. So
unless
when,
it's...
when is season 2 coming out?
Season 2 is coming out very soon, actually. I think it's towards the end of this summer. If I'm not
so
wrong.
That's a good sign. That means the executives have decided that the viewership is good enough for them to continue.
Yeah, and I mean, that's also a bit the problem, that if anything driven by a star will always, people will watch it. And then obviously the content has to be good enough once they start watching it for it to sustain. So that is indeed a good sign that it was good enough that people responded to it. But so.
No, but then I think for American TV shows or British TV shows, the opposite is true. If you realize that, sorry, I'm still coughing from the beginning. So if you realize that HBO shows don't really have a really super famous actor or actress in the lead, right? You take, for example, Game of Thrones, you take Entourage. All these actors are famous, they've been in good movies. But they're not like superstars, like, you know, Kevin Spacey. I mean, okay, fine. Kevin Spacey has just finally come in House of Cards, but that's a Netflix show.
No, but this is an interesting point, because if you notice in the last couple, not couple, but 4 or 5 years, the balance between TV and Hollywood in the US has shifted, because earlier, TV was big in its own right. But it was very much a stepping stone to Hollywood. If you were in a famous sitcom or in a good drama show, you would start getting movie offers. Like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, for example, because of Friends, she has the career she has. And she has all the movies that she has. And Jason Bateman as well, who was the lead of Arrested Development. These guys made it big through TV and then started going into movies. But in the last...
Speaking of, imagine an Arrested Development for India. Do you think that would work?
Arrested Development specifically is a bit of a acquired taste, let's put it that way. So I don't know. But the balance, as I was saying, has shifted a bit, because now in the last few years, you've seen big, big movie stars starting to come into TV. So Kevin Spacey is the prime example, who did House of Cards. Matthew McConaughey came on season 1 of True Detective. Vince Vaughn is going to be on the next season.
No, so I think this whole transition probably started with the shows that came up in the really late 90s and early 2000s. So if you see Sopranos really changed the outlook of viewers on television shows. The people watching at that time were so hooked that they had withdrawal symptoms for like 6 months after it stopped. You know, like, why is this show off? I want to watch an episode. I want to watch a new episode. So James Gandolfini was not a big star at that time. He was fine. He was a good actor. He was in, like, some decent movies. But what really made him big was The Sopranos. And the fact that the viewership was so huge really made HBO rethink their strategy on TV shows. And hence, new TV shows came up in the next 4 or 5 years, like Deadwood and all that, which did fairly well. And now we have, obviously, the best shows on TV, I mean, in the world right now, like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and this and that. And everyone's just talking about that. You keep hearing, oh, I'm on season this of Breaking Bad, I'm on season that of whatever, you know? So that never happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago with any other shows. So
yeah.
There's a whole paradigm shift in terms of viewing television.
Yeah, and that's the key, because TV has now turned into not just something that you watch in your spare time because it's on, but into something that you actively follow and that you're actively interested in. And that is the reason why a lot of people are switching. And that switch has not yet happened in India. And
I think it's about to happen pretty soon. I think it should happen with this new push towards online shows and, you know, free independent directing, independent producing, where there's no pressure of viewership and all that. So I think it's really going to happen soon.
Yeah, I hope it does. But I mean, I think we need something like a Sopranos to really push it over the edge and to con because even the stuff that's happening right now, like you said, it's all independent online activities. And okay, TVF and Scoop Whoop are pretty big in their own right, and they have a lot of money, but it's still not quite the same as a show that's on TV.
So, I mean, how about we get some really, really good Indian directors to start a new TV show? I'm not saying we get it ourselves, but
No, I mean, I would love to,
no,
but
I don't think that's a good idea. But no, I think someone like Sriram Raghavan, for example, what a fantastic director, right? Johnny Gaddar was his class act, which I don't think he's been able to repeat, and he probably won't. But imagine him trying to make a TV show with some good actors, good actresses. And it would just turn out to be brilliant. I mean, Johnny Gaddar is just, I'm a bit biased towards that movie because it really changed my outlook on the presence of thrillers in Bollywood. And I don't think I've seen too many films coming out after that have really matched it, except for Gangs of Wasseypur 1 and 2, and a few exceptions. But yeah, well, I mean, thrillers are taking a good turn, and I think Drishyam, which you mentioned earlier, looks to be quite promising as well.
yes, that's how this whole conversation started when I started talking
Yeah,
about
did we? I don't even know how we ended up here, but
Drishyam, and we've talked for 15 minutes about all kinds of other things. Since you brought up, Johnny Gadar, let's go back to Drishyam for a minute. And the trailer looks really interesting, and it's refreshing to see what looks like a real out and out thriller, because you don't really have. Thrillers are, as a genre, are not really that prevalent in Bollywood. You had NH10 earlier this year, which was somewhat a thriller, but it was not really. There's less suspense. It's just the suspense is, is she going to be alive at the end of the movie? At this point, we inevitably drift off into yet another tangent, and I will spare you guys the details. While we wait for us to get back to the point, here's a quick listen of the title track from Johnny Gaddar. More after this.
छोटी सी जिंदगी गहरी सी जेब है बाकी तो जाने मन बातों के सेब हैं ओ छोटी सी जिंदगी गहरी सी जेब है बाकी तो जाने मन बातों के सेब हैं ओ बातें हैं सब साली बातें हैं कहते हैं फिर भूल जाते हैं
But I'm glad you brought up Drishyam again, since that is where we started this conversation. Thrillers in Bollywood are not really a genre that's really well done or well explored, because typically when you have thrillers, you the director or the filmmakers tend to diverge a bit and bring in other elements to because they think that's what the audience needs to be entertained. So you'll have some, romantic side story happening, or you'll have some family drama, or you'll have all of these other things. There are no really pure out-and-out thrillers. There's a few, but they're very few and far between. And you mentioned Johnny Gaddar already, which is one of, I agree with you, one of the best movies and one of very underrated movies in Bollywood.
No, I think it's for a certain level of directors. It really depends on what sort of level of director is, making it. So if it's some really, really popular director, it's not going to matter after a point.
Yeah, but the point is, the popular directors are not really making thrillers because for them it's easy. I mean, the easy way out is to just make what we call a masala film and just make it either very action heavy with a huge hero like Akshay Kumar or Salman Khan, or even Ajay Devgan was doing this for the last few years. And that's one of the reasons why I'm very happy about Drishyam, because the way Ajay Devgan really made his name was through very serious roles like Apharan and Gangajal, which were, I think, as close as Bollywood has gotten to true thrillers. But after the success of those and he became big, he started doing Golmaal and All the Best and all of these action comedies, so to speak. And it, at one level, it makes sense because it made him tons of money. At the end of the day, these guys, this is their job. They have to make money and they have to do things that work. But
yeah, of course. I mean, they have to hit the largest amount of popularity with the biggest audience. But I think in terms of viewership and in terms of really appreciating film, the ones that have really stuck to their own genre and not diverged out to, like, you know, multiple genres in one film, those are the ones that have really done well in terms of directing and filmmaking.
And that's the paradox, because in terms of directing and filmmaking, yes, and in terms of what you get out of the movie and the feeling you get after you watch it. But sadly, the movies that are still making 100 crores and 200 crores or whatever, the ones
they're all
that
about the glamour and the songs, and, you know, it's also what really brings the audiences to these things. So it's not the feeling that they want to go out with, it's the viewing pleasure, you know, that for 2 hours they want to be completely away from everything else and just look at what's on the screen, as I say, put their brains aside and watch it, which is not what, I mean, so that is a principal difference between what viewers of this age want to see and what viewers of, you know, the previous generation want to see, in my opinion, because we don't want to see something that's just a viewing pleasure for 2 hours. We want to get something out of it, we want to make something of it, and then when we walk out, we think, wow, that was good, you know, that was meaningful, that was good, that was interesting, that was funny. That is something which we need Bollywood to do.
And, but the thing is, I mean, you and me think like this, but a lot of people who typically watch Bollywood movies in India don't necessarily think the same way. And my view is that because a lot of our audience still has not been exposed to the kind of filmmaking and cinema often enough for them to really appreciate what the medium can do. And it can be more than just a 2 hour escape from reality and, you know, whatever. I think it can be much more than that. And I appreciate the fact that, yes, movies are an escape from reality, but there's no reason why you can't make a movie that is entertaining and that captivates an audience while still being realistic and without really sensationalizing things or making things overly dramatic or overly larger than life. And that is my biggest problem, because I think if you, to kind of expand on your statement a little bit, the movies that do well are either the ones, or, well, so when I say movies that do well, I mean movies that people remember, not necessarily do well in a financial sense. The movies that are really memorable are the ones that either, like you said, stick to one specific type of genre and don't try to mix too many elements, or the ones that effectively balance many different things, that have an appeal to a kind of mass sense of fun and entertainment, but also have some kind of a meaningful message or some relatable characters or something that really hooks the audience. Like a film like Munna Bhai, which is a fairly zany, out there concept, but it's so good because it has a clear underlying message. You can feel connected to the characters. And not just Munna Bhai, even films like Kal Ho Na Ho, and if you think of all of the classics, the reason we love them is because you can relate to the characters. And we keep coming back to this. That's the most important point, right? If you make a film like, even of all the Salman Khan films that make hundreds and thousands of crores, the ones that stick are, you know, things like Dabang and Wanted. Because even though those films are completely larger than life and have a lot of ridiculous elements, they spend more time on building the character and building the image of this guy as opposed to just completely overloading it with action scenes or, you know, him beating up thousands of guys. And those movies are good and you appreciate them. You can also have films like Devil that make 200 crores or whatever, but no one is going to remember that in 10 years' time. But people are.
And the other thing I think to note is that when we think of all these previous films like K3G or Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge and all those, we refer to those as the 90s films, you know, like our childhood films, and we have to watch them now. You know, it's a feel-good feeling. But why don't they remain timeless? You know, why do we have to refer to them as the 90s films or, you know, our childhood films? If you watch something like Pulp Fiction, you don't think about that as a 90s film that we have to watch. It's just something that is completely timeless. And even, let's say, for example, The Godfather or Shawshank, all the really famous ones out there, they are completely timeless films. So Bollywood really needs to up its thing in terms of how do you make a film stand out for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades. I think with this shift, with the likes of Drishyam coming out, you know, it's going to have an impact in the sense that you won't refer to it that, oh, it's a childhood film, I'll watch it 20 years later or something. It's something that's going to stand the test of time.
Yeah, completely agree. And but I mean, I think there are Bollywood films out there like that. The problem is they're just too few and too far between, and you have to go through a lot of fluff to actually get to that point. You have films obviously like Dil Chahta Hai and Rock On.
I like how you put that, fluff.
But anyway, so speaking of thrillers and timeless films, so I watched the trailer of Drishyam and I was like, this is very interesting because there are not that many thrillers, like I said. And so I decided to do some internet stalking to find out what were the actual thrillers that have done well in Bollywood. And
yeah,
I came across Gupt, and I loved the theme song of Gupt, so I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. And so I spent 2 hours watching Gupt.
Wait, what?
why is that funny?
Can you just... No, I don't know. I've never seen it, so I just...
You haven't seen Gupt?
No, I haven't.
Okay, please watch it. It's... Okay, how do I put this? It doesn't necessarily stick 100% to the genre at the way you were saying, which makes it a bit worse than it could have been. But if you discount the acting, the acting is quite bad. If you discount the acting, it's a really good movie, and it's a proper thriller in terms of just the pure storyline. And the story is basically Bobby Deol, which you unfortunately have to suffer Bobby Deol for 2 hours. But Bobby Deol is accused of killing his stepdad because his stepdad doesn't accept his marriage with Kajol and wants to get him married to Manisha Koirala instead. He gets accused of killing his stepdad, which he didn't do, and he gets sent to jail. And then he escapes from jail, which is literally his escape method from jail is 100% copied from Shawshank Redemption. The exact same thing, but luckily they spent 5 minutes on it as opposed to the whole movie.
I'm trying to find it on iTunes right now, but I don't think it's there.
No, it's on YouTube, so you can watch it on YouTube with English subtitles if you so prefer. It is 2 hours, so it's relatively short compared to most Hindi movies, and it's a really good thriller. I mean, you literally have no idea who the killer is until the last scenes, more or less. And once you find out, you suddenly think back to other scenes in the movie, you're like, oh, wow, this makes so much sense. I'm not going to say who the killer is because in case... I'm sure most of us have watched this movie, but I had watched it back when it came out, but I literally don't remember anything about it because I was like 6 years old.
Oh, but interestingly, this point, Gupt, you're saying, has the twist about who the killer is or who the bad guy is, and that's how it probably ends. Johnny Gada, interestingly, you know who the killer is from the very beginning. The audience gets to see who is killing who, but the characters themselves don't know. So why is it still so good? I mean, why is it so gripping if you know as the audience that this is the killer? And so you basically know where it's heading, who's going to die, who's dead already, right? So I think it's the fact that it's not linear is really what's making this film stand out. And of course, there is a twist at the end, which I don't know if you remember, but is a brilliant twist.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, the point is not necessarily that you know or you don't know who the killer is, but the point is that the film has to be engaging and keep you occupied, and you have to want to keep watching it and find out what happens and leave you at the edge of your seat. Because the problem with most movies is that they become very predictable, and it's you either you're either okay with the fact that it's predictable because you like the characters and then you want to see a happy ending for them, or because you're like, okay, it's a movie, that's how it's going to be. But it doesn't have to be that way, I think. You can have movies that are unpredictable and that keep you engaged and that keep you hooked in many different ways, whether it's the suspense of who the killer is or whether it's, you know, the interest around a character and what he's going to do and or what he or she is going to do and where he or she is going to end up. So there are many different
Well,
ways of doing that.
interestingly, another one that just came up to my mind was Kahani with Vidya Balan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, that was a fantastic film. I completely, because it's so engaging and it's really well directed. Till the end, you don't know what happens. And I think Vidya Balan has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, and even I mean I think we're not giving Bollywood enough credit because there are films out there. Even Talash, although it wasn't commercially that successful, I thought was a great film. But anyway, going back to Drishyam for the fourth time, I think it has the potential to be one of those films that is really memorable, and I don't know how well it'll do at the box office. But people like Ajay Devgan and Tabu, who are really good actors, when you put them in the right roles and in the right context, and I think that can make all the difference. And I hope, at least, I'm quite excited for it. I hope it does really well, and I hope it's a sign of the fact that things are changing and that. So even someone like Ajay Devgan, who made his name doing serious roles, is now starting to come back, and I hope that's a trend that continues. And honestly, I think the younger actors are much more receptive to that. They're much more open to trying new things and doing different genres. Someone like Varun Dhawan, who did, you know, a Yash Raj film like Student of the Year, and did very fairly conventional films like Main Tera Hero, etc., is also open to doing a film like Badlapur, which is like a dark, not quite a thriller, but it's a dark, dramatic film, which has him playing a kind of brooding guy. And same for Siddharth Malhotra, who did Ek Villain, which is also not your conventional film. And I think the newer breed of actors are much more open to that. And so I'm hopeful that it's a sign of things to come, that there will be more experimental films and a more wide range of movies coming out, as opposed to your typical Shah Rukh, Salman, Amir films, where you know more or less what you're going to get before you go. And I think that is a good note on which to end the show. We diverge on a lot of different tangents there, but.
Yeah, I think that normally tends to happen when both of us sit in a room together. Well, in this case, I'm still in my room, so
Yeah,
I think.
I'm surprised we actually managed to, you know, get through this without causing any serious accidents to either one of us.
Yeah, so let's congratulate each other. Let's congratulate the listeners.
Yeah, for surviving this, for surviving us rambling about random things. Yeah. Luckily there was no alcohol involved. Although I think in both our cases there was a lot of alcohol involved in our night immediately
Hey man,
preceding
I
this.
live in a dry state, okay? Don't worry.
Of course, of course, of course. There's no alcohol in Gujarat. No, what? Who said that?
Yeah, find me alcohol in Gujarat and I'll be your friend.
Before we diverge onto another tangent, let's wrap it up. Thank you everyone for listening, and have a good week. We will be back next week with more interesting, hopefully interesting, Bollywood news and chatter.
And probably more focused guest speakers.
Thank you for listening to this week's Bollywood Weekly. If you like what we're doing, please share this podcast with all your friends and family. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at productions_TIC, and subscribe to our feeds on SoundCloud or using the podcast app on iTunes to get latest episodes directly to your smartphone. We will leave you this week with one of the iconic songs of the 90s, the title track from the film Gupt. See you next week.
Thank you. Go.